The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
So now at this time, I want to officially welcome all of our podcast audience and our YouTube audience as well. Again, it is good to be back after a week break because of different things going on with the elections and this and that. During that time, I know in my own personal devotional time, I had some time to reflect on things. There was a lot of sobering things that was taking place, things that we really need to readjust and reevaluate things, especially in the body of Christ. And that's really what I'm going to go with today. I don't want to keep you long. In fact, I've only got about 2 pages of notes, so probably 20 minutes tops. And I'm trying to keep these updates shorter and not longer. I know we typically go about an hour. We're trying to reduce that by half just so that we don't exhaust you with so much. And we could just, I'd rather do more during the week with shorter time periods than do less podcasts and do longer broadcasts. So that's just my theory on this. So I want to talk about today. It's time to flee the fables. Again, it's time to flee the fables. What in the world am I talking about? 1 Timothy 1:3-7. 1 Timothy 1:3-7. Listen, I'm telling you as a disclaimer up front that a lot of people's not going to receive this, and you're gonna discover why that is here in just a moment. But I want to give you some warnings that the Apostle Paul talked about. And the Apostle Peter warned about in the New Testament. So let's go to 1 Timothy 1:3-7. The Apostle Paul is writing here. He says, "As I urged you when I went to Macedonia, remain in Ephesus that you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine." And I want to emphasize today to all of our audience that we're not going to be dealing with doctrine today. But Paul said, "I charge some that they teach no other doctrine." Verse 4, and this is where I want to go with today, "nor give heed to fables." Somebody say fables. Now, by definition, and I'm going to repeat this several times because I want to get this in your mind, get this in your spirit. Listen what he says. Do not give heed or embrace, run with, or become yoked with fables. The word fables, by definition, listen to this, is something not founded upon facts. A secondary translation, a falsehood or a lie. Let me say that again. By definition, the word fable or fables is something not found upon facts, falsehoods, or lies. Now, if we want to stick with contextual understanding of what we're dealing with today, the facts here would be the Word of God. So watch this. Listen what Paul says here. He says, "Don't give heed to fables and endless genealogies," which, listen to this, "cause disputes rather than godly edification, which is in faith." Now, guys, maybe you didn't see it, but I'm really being facetious here when I say that, because I know if I saw it, I know you did it. And if I saw it and you saw it, there's chances are you and I both were probably pulled into the middle of some of these disputes. And listen, the disputes over the last 2 months or so since November were not disputes on doctrine. They were not disputes on genealogies. They were not disputes on scripture. They were disputes on things, listen, that were not based on facts, but they were based in falsehoods and lies and fabrications. Yet it generated continual strife and discord all over social media, all over Facebook, all over Twitter, all over every social media outlet out there, the web, YouTube, on and on and on. And he says, listen to this, because these fables, these fictions and falsehoods and lies and fabrications, he says they cause disputes and not godly edification. Oh, and boy, did we see that over the last, since November of 2020. Paul said, now the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart. And I want you to hear me today. I want to echo the words of the Apostle Paul today. And I want to tell you the purpose of this podcast today, the purpose of this message today, the purpose of this warning today is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith. From, listen to this, from which some, having strayed, have turned aside to idle talk. In other words, I'm going to break this down and make this easy to understand for somebody. Instead of their dialogue or their conversation being centered around the gospel, centered around Christ, centered around his word, centered around faith, it's centered around a politician. It's centered around a particular party of politics. It's centered around the White House. It's centered around the Capitol. It's centered around donkeys, and it's centered around elephants. And it's endless. Listen to this. He says, idle talk. Nonstop. I'm talking, there was people on the internet all day long, nonstop. And I know they were not reading their Bible. I know they weren't praying, because I can see it in the conversations, in the dialogue. So instead of feeding themselves the word, feeding themselves in prayer and intercession, feeding themselves in the presence of God through praise and through worship, and spending devotional time with him, they were feeding and they were digesting things from the media, things from social media, things from the internet, things from a blog, and 99% of it was fables, fabrications, falsehoods, lies, conspiracies, not founded upon facts. Listen to what the Apostle Paul said. Some have strayed in idle talk, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor the things which they affirm. So Paul is saying they're trying to take some Christ and put it in the middle of this and act like they're spiritual, but there's no basis of what they're talking about. I'm gonna read something I wrote down. I'm telling you, 2 weeks ago, this dropped in my spirit, and I've repeated this on my own social media platform. I said, many in 2020 in the church became far more political than they did spiritual. I'm going to say it again. Many in 2020 in the church became far more political than they did spiritual, and it was evident. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Now, listen. Before you get mad, before you take up a torch, before you pick up a pitchfork, before you get your keyboard out and start blasting me on social media, listen, I understand the magnitude of what we're dealing with as a nation. I understand the abominations that can be signed into place. I understand the shedding of innocent blood. I understand the sovereignty of a nation at hand. I understand all this. I'm not saying you shouldn't vote. I'm not saying you shouldn't keep up with things. But I'm telling you, when it consumes you, we're not talking about your duty as a citizen of this kingdom, but listen to me, as a citizen of his kingdom, we are not to be entangled. I'm just telling you what the Apostle Paul said here. So if you want to get mad at me, get mad at the word of God. The Apostle Paul said, do not give heed to fables. And I'm telling you, so many people fell victim to entertaining and becoming entangled with fables, falsehoods, lies, fabrications, and conspiracy theories. I'm telling you, this was a download that came in my spirit 2 weeks ago, and the Lord began to give me scripture after scripture after scripture. I'm going to give you some more here. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 5. This really just leaped out at me. for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Again, today we're not talking about enduring sound doctrine today. We're not talking about doctrine today. So let's move on. The time will come, listen, when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. Listen to this. And they will turn their ears away from the truth. What's the truth? Come on, somebody talk to me. The word of God. And what's it say right there in your Bible? And they will be turned aside to fables. Notice it said they will be turned aside to fables. In other words, when their focus should be on the word, the fables come because the fables sound good. The fables sound good. It's enticing. It scratches your itching ears. It fuels the fire. And because of that, watch this, they will be drawn away from the truth and they will magnetize, or they'll be drawn to fables. This is what the Apostle Paul said here. But listen what he says in verse 5. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, and do the work of an evangelist and fulfill your ministry. Wow. Let me give you another one. 1 Timothy 4, 1 and 2. 1 Timothy 4, 1 and 2. Now the Spirit speaks expressively that in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Now listen, the word seducing spirits here, listen, means by definition to slowly draw away from the truth into error. Let me say that again. The word seducing or seduced means to slowly draw someone away from truth unto error. And Paul said that in the latter days, many will depart from the faith. And again, they will cleave to and cling to deception, and it will be a spirit drawing them away. This is so powerful. 2 Peter 1:16 and 17. 2 Peter 1:16 and 17. For we did not follow cunningly devised fables. Here again, this is Peter speaking here. We did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Notice Peter addressed those by his letter that they, the apostles, did not follow cunning, devised. It's interesting, devised. It comes from the root word division. Cunning, devised fables. They said they were, in other words, they weren't intrigued by fables. I'm sure in Peter's day and Paul's day and Jesus' day and the apostles' day, there was fables all around them. They were surrounded with fables, lies, falsehoods, fabrications, conspiracies. Listen, there was a conspiracy. Can I tell you one of these? Let me tell you one of these fables that was circulating all through Jerusalem and Bethlehem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost. Here it is. You ready? One of the fables that was propagated by the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the teachers of the law, and even among them all, was that Jesus, when he came the first time as the suffering servant, as the Messiah, they spread fables or falsehoods that Jesus had come to dethrone the kingdom that was there and to set up his own kingdom, which was not true. Now, is he going to do that in the future? Yes. His first appearance, he did not come to set up a kingdom on earth. He came, come on, to Come on. He came to recruit for a heavenly kingdom so that in the future, he's going to come back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we, the church, is going to come with him. And then he'll set up his kingdom for 1,000 years. But watch this. But during that time, there was fabrications, there was lies, and there was fables being spread that Jesus was trying to take over their power and take over their position of authority. Why do you think they were threatened by him? The same thing happened with the disciples when Jesus was crucified and he went to heaven and he was sitting at the right hand of the Father and the church was raised up. Read the whole book of Acts. The entire book of Acts, it tells you, it emphasizes the fact that the religious leaders of that day, of the day of the apostles and the writings of the book of Acts, they feared greatly that their influence was threatened by the apostles and by the disciples of Jesus Christ. So you see what I'm saying? There was falsehoods, fables that was circulating all over. And it was by word of mouth. They didn't have social media. They didn't have Twitter. They didn't have Facebook. They didn't have Instagram or Telegram or Gab or any of these networks. It was by word of mouth. Listen to this. 1 Peter 1:16 through 21. For we, again, he says the same thing here. For we did not follow cunningly devised fables. Again, he says this. Now watch this. I want to read this last part here. 1 Peter 1:19. Listen to this. 1:19. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed. Somebody say the prophetic word, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Listen to this. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but by holy men of God who spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. I want to emphasize to you today that we have, listen, and that gets me to my final conclusion. And I'm throwing this right in the mix because I've had, listen, we got tons of emails. We got messages. I got telephone calls. I got text messages. And they said, Brother Ricky, are you going to address all the false prophets that miss the prophetic word about Trump winning the reelection? And I said, well, to be honest with you, it seems like everybody else is already taking care of it. And I can name names. Certain individuals has already called them all out. But I'm going to just take that in essence and just bundle it in with fables. Again, by definition, fables is something based not on fact, but in conspiracies, falsehoods, lies, fabrications. Now, listen, I see the argument all day long. Well, the prophets didn't miss it because he won the election and it was taken. Okay, listen. That sounds really good and real spiritual, but here's the thing. Don't you think that if the Holy Spirit inspired an individual to give them, and if, remember, because according to the book of John, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, which is the Holy Spirit, he will not speak of his own accord, but he will only speak that which he hears of the Father. So do you not think if the Father gave these individuals prophetic words that an individual was going to win the election, that you don't think the Father saw all that through that? I'm pretty sure that this didn't catch him off guard. So it sounds to me like it's a cop-out. Now, again, watch this. I want to tell you what Paul said. I speak in love. Hear me out. Don't get mad. Don't turn the channel yet. Let me finish here. I believe what happened was many in the body of Christ got their eyes off, listen, the more sure word of prophecy, which is the written word of God, and they turned aside And then what your Bible says, Peter said that, Paul said that. They turned aside to fables and they began to embrace fables to the point where they neglected the more sure word of prophecy. This is why, if guys, if you know me, I didn't touch this. I never once got out and said, the Lord showed me that Trump would win. Why? Because he didn't. Listen, if he would have spoken to me and showed me that, I would have told you that, but he never did. So there's no way I'm going to. And listen, there was well-respected voices that said, one pastor even said on national television that an angel of the Lord appeared to him and told him that Donald Trump would win the re-election, but he didn't. Now, hold on. The Bible says that when Paul was addressing the New Testament church, he said there would be a come a time when they would preach another Jesus. They would have another spirit. They would have another doctrine. And Paul said, even if we or an angel appears and preaches any other gospel unto you than what you have received from us, count him accursed. So again, if I have a supernatural experience, the first thing I'm going to do is search, and I'm going to be a good Berean and see if it lines up with scripture. Because if it doesn't line up with scripture, then it's not of God. And you say, well, hold on here. Wait a minute. Nowhere in the Bible is it going to tell you that so-and-so politician is going to become the president. That brings me to my next point. Now, look, again, I noticed everybody's hanging in there and not leaving. I appreciate you doing that. Hear my heart. This is the very reason why I have learned in 20 years of ministry by sitting under seasoned men of God and real prophets who, when they prophesied stuff, things, it came to pass. They didn't miss it. It wasn't a roll of the dice and blowing on the dice and say, I wonder if I'm going to hit it today. I wonder if I'm going to hit it tomorrow. Come on, 7. Come on, 11. And they roll the dice and say, oh, I hit it today, but then I rolled a 5 yesterday or a 6 yesterday, so I missed it. No, it wasn't like that. So I learned from these men, and they taught me, if you get a word from the Lord in private, you weigh it out among a multitude of counselors. Weigh it out among seasoned prophets. Get counsel from them before you ever release that publicly. All right. Second of all, let me go back to this. I know you may say, well, nowhere in the Bible does it say that so-and-so is going to win the presidency. This brings me to the next point. Peter said, we have a more sure word of prophecy. Listen, and then he said, know this first, no prophecy of scripture is of any private interpretation. No, this is what I've learned over the years of 20 years of ministry. There's things that I do not prophesy. Listen, I don't pastor a brick and mortar church right now, but when I did for a couple years, several years ago back in Indiana, or even now, I still minister at my local church here in Monroe, Georgia. You will never hear me get up. I will never bring people up front and prophesy to them, thus says the Lord. The Lord shows me that so-and-so over here is going to be your wife, or so-and-so is going to be your husband, or this or that. There's things I don't touch. Why? Because you can absolutely train wreck and derail somebody's entire life by you getting overzealous and giving them a quote unquote word from the Lord, and it not be from the word of the Lord, and it's really your flesh or your spirit, not the spirit of God. You can actually, and if that person really heeds your voice, they could actually ruin their life. Now, am I saying that God can't do that? No, I'm not saying God is God and he could tell you whatever he wants. But here's the deal, guys. Listen, let me give you a little bit of advice. If someone comes to me and gives me a quote unquote prophetic word, listen, it's going to confirm to me what I've already heard from God in my own private devotional time. Oh, I'm going to say it again. You guys know me. I'm old school. You've heard me say this. That you've been with me for any long period of time, you know that I've said this all the time. If any individual comes to you and gives you a prophetic word, it is going to confirm to you what you've already been told by God in your private time. Listen, if you have no desire to fly a plane, you're scared of heights, you have vertigo and the whole list and 9 yards, and some prophet comes in town, some hot shot, whatever, he comes to your church and he pulls you up front and says, thus saith the Lord shows me you're going to be a private, you're going to be a plane pilot. You're going to fly commercial airlines. You're going to become very wealthy and you're going to fly private airlines, blah, blah, blah. And you're thinking to yourself, you're scratching your head because you're like, I don't like heights. I don't like planes. I have vertigo. I can't even qualify to fly a plane. Listen, then it's probably, listen, the chances are that guy missed it because it's going to confirm to you in private what God, come on, has already spoken to you. I'm trying to help somebody today. So the problem is we got a lot of people that, again, got far more political than they did spiritual. That brings me to my next point. I know we're going to lose some people today. It's inevitable. People are going to get mad, unsubscribe. I'll get hate mail, everything else. But I'm trying. Listen, I am more worried not about ruffling your political feathers. I am more worried about keeping you sound in doctrine and in word and in him so that when the next election cycle comes around, this is going to happen again. It happens. Listen, under Barack Obama, listen to me. You know how many fables were spread under Barack Obama and under his administration? Oh, I'll tell you what, brother. Listen, here's some of the fables we heard. There's going to the healthcare system. There's going to be a microchip. Nah, that didn't happen. Oh, we're all going to go into martial law. That didn't happen. They're going to bring out the FEMA camps. That didn't happen. I'm telling you, I could name fable after fable after fable after fable, and none of them came to fruition. And people lost sleep over it. People lost friends over it. People lost family over it. And people lost their faith over it. And I saw it again this last election cycle, all over social media. There's going to be mass arrests made. There's going to be martial law. There's going to be blackouts. There's going to be an emergency broadcast system message that's going to come from the president. There's going to be the arresting of the Pope. There's going to be military takeover. And none of it happened. None of it. Are you listening to me? I'm not mad at you. I'm mad at the devil because he does this junk every single election cycle. And people buy it hook, line, and sinker. Why? Same thing that happened then is happening now. They're giving heed to divisive, cunning fables, and they're departing from the faith. You guys that know me, I told you and warned and warned and warned over the last November, all of December, even in the January, I said, despite who wins the election, I'm not moved. I'm not troubled. I'm not shaken. Why? Because I know who holds my tomorrow. I know who's on the throne. He is still on the throne. He is not moved. He's not nervous. He's not shaken. And guess what? He still has a plan. According to the book of Daniel, it is God who sets up kings and it's God who sets down kings. I got into a whole conversation about this yesterday, or no, what was it? Saturday night. I was sitting around a group of people at a table, and I said, I can't tell you how many times I heard things come out of mainline preachers' mouths, and it was gospel truth according to them. And I had to go read my Bible and study on my own and found out that most of the stuff that they were preaching wasn't even in the Bible. Can I give you one? Or is this too much for you today? One of my pet peeves I hear all the time, and you've heard me preach about it. Listen, some of these guys are even my mentors. I love them to death, but I don't agree with everything they say. You know, I eat the meat and spit out the bones. I guess that's an old saying you used to say. I don't toss out the baby with the bathwater or the what, however I may have it backwards there. But you've heard, some of y'all's heard this. I tell you what, before the coming of the Lord, there's coming this great outpouring that's going to sweep the globe like the waters cover the earth. And they base that out of Joel chapter 2. And the last days says, God, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and sons and daughters shall prophesy. Y'all know this. Sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men shall see vision. Your old men shall dream dreams. And upon your maidservants and hand servants, I'll pour out my spirit before the great and terrible day of the Lord. But here's the problem. They point to this as a future event. But the problem is, when I went and studied it one day out of the book of Acts chapter 2, When the outpouring of the Holy Spirit was taking place, I discovered that it was Peter that stood up. Read it in your Bible. Read it in your own time. Peter stood up and he says this. When they were all perplexed and confused, and they said, what is this? What's going on? What are these strange babblings? What's the strange commotion in the upper room? Peter stood up in the midst and he says, this is present tense. That which was spoken by the prophet Joel, that God says, I'll pour out my spirit. Again, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, Acts 2, Joel 2, took place on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, and has been ongoing. It's an event that's not coming. I tell you, and I'm going to say it again. It's not an event that's coming. It's an event that is, it took place on the day of Pentecost, and it's still going on. But when I get in the scriptures, I don't find places where it says there's this great utopia coming. There's this great awakening coming. It's going to sweep the globe, and everybody, and like kings are just going to fall down before, on their knees, and they're all going to surrender their life. No, you know what I find in my, when I begin to script, to study it out, I begin to find passages like, the Spirit expressly says, in the latter days, some shall depart from the faith and give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. I find in Paul said that, know this, that perilous times will come, and men will be lovers of themselves and not lovers of God, and they'll be disobedient, and they'll betray one another, and the love of many will wax cold, Jesus said. Matthew 24, Paul said that their people will have a form of godliness, but they'll deny the power thereof. Paul said in 2 Thessalonians, knowing this, that there shall come a falling away that will happen first. So again, when I start digging in the scriptures, it's polar opposite of what we're being told behind pulpits. Now you say, why is this dangerous? Here's why it's dangerous. Because listen, it's giving people a false perception. I'm going to tell you something. I know this is going to sound crazy, and I'm going to give you a redemptive hope. Listen, my redemptive hope is not in a corporate revival. You've heard me say this. My redemptive hope is not in a corporate revival. First of all, my redemptive hope is knowing that, behold, the Lord cometh out of heaven with 10,000s of his saints, that he's going to execute judgment upon all the ungodly. My redemptive hope is there should be a sound. Come on. A voice and a trumpet and a gathering together. My redemptive hope is when you begin to see all these things coming to pass, look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption is drawing near. So my redemptive hope is not based in a corporate revival or a corporate awakening. My redemptive hope is, and this is what I tell my family all the time, I'm not looking for the next corporate revival. I am busy stoking a private revival. Listen, if you and I don't have revival being stirred up in our own hearts, in our own homes, in our own families, in our own marriages, in our own children, what good is it, come on, to put a sign up in your church saying revival's coming when we're really not in revival? I'm done with that stuff, guys. It's goofy. I'm trying to help somebody. So there's a lot of people out there. You say, what's this got to do? Listen, I didn't take a rabbit trail. I know where I'm going. I'm going back to this. We got a lot of people today that are disheartened. They're discouraged. They're disappointed. We can't get people to get back into the church. We can't get them back in the word. We can't get them back praying. We can't get them excited about the Lord. Why? Because their politician didn't win the election. Well, listen, if you don't have any hope, you don't have any joy, you don't have any faith, and you've given up on the word, given up on his church, given up on your devotional time and praise and worship, then that tells me, friend, that your faith was never in him, but it was in a politician. Oh, listen, if I didn't make somebody mad, I made somebody mad right there. I want to close with this. I blogged a little bit about this on my own. It was about 1:30 in the morning, and I wrote this down on my Facebook page, and I want to share this with you. It's just a little bit of insight. I want to give you something to chew on before we close this podcast today. Here we go. I want to read this quote. This was from my own personal Facebook page. I wrote this again. This was several days ago, about 1:30 in the morning. As someone who writes articles literally on a daily basis and sees the feedback of thousands, I am truly grieved at what I've seen taking place during the last election cycle. I nearly wept today when I read so many who have vowed to never again listen to what any alleged prophets have to say on social media again after so many fell short with the Trump re-election prophecy. Quote, "This is not a politically charged post. This is a major wake-up call for the church that we have got to restore a true prophetic voice again, one that can be trusted and sticks," listen to this, "with the word of God. I mean, honestly," quote, I've written off many who I have set back year after year and watched nothing come to fruition that these people have prophesied, and it's just not elections. Now, quote, "Now some will read this and get angry, but the reality is we are losing a generation." Think about it, guys, our kids. Think about the people that are watching. Think about the people that are listening. Think about the people that are reading these posts and stuff. Let me read this again. "We are losing a generation that we have been trying to convince week after week that God still speaks through his prophets today, only for them to see more and more empty words fall to the ground." Quote, "While everyone is running to alternative social media platforms out of fear of suppression or censorship, I actually thought today what it was like when social media wasn't even around." Think about this. Some of y'all don't even know what I'm talking about because you're a lot younger than me and some others. I mean, quote, was there always this much strife, division, and discord? Was there always this many failed prophecies and we just didn't hear or see it because it wasn't amplified for the world to see through social media? I can tell you this, the last great revival in at least my lifetime was the Brownsville Revival in Pensacola, Florida, and it was birthed on Father's Day of 1995, and it ended around 6 years later, which consequently, listen to this, was when social media began to really take off, and eventually the launch of Facebook was in 2004. In the days before social media, I remember the weekend rural revival meetings, the cries of repentance, altars filled with people getting saved, the hungry packed out churches to hear the preached word of God with conviction. I remember so many young people getting filled with the Holy Ghost. People were excited to go to church and what God was going to do next. I remember the era of the God chasers. Where did it go? Interestingly enough, we haven't had a real long-lasting, impacting revival of that magnitude since then. So is there a connection? Of course, I can never prove this theory either way, but it's a sobering thought. So again, that's what I wrote on my face. I believe it's a combination of things. Again, we know that as we get closer to the time of the end, we know there's going to be a defection of truth, a defection of the faith. Jesus even said in Luke 16, "When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" So I believe God being omnipotent and sovereign knew this social media was going to be prominent and it was going to be huge in this generation that's listening to me via my podcast or Facebook right now. So I believe a tool that can be used for good. Listen, all if it wasn't for social media, you guys wouldn't even be listening to what I'm saying right now. So I'm not saying that social media is of the devil or it's evil. But what I am saying is I do believe that what the enemy intended for evil, God can turn it for good. But watch this. What can be used as good can also become a vice for evil. We've got to have wisdom. We've got to have discernment. But above all this, and it really stems from this, ready? We've got to get back to the more sure word of prophecy. So that's today's message. We got to get back to the more sure word of prophecy, and we got to flee. You know, Paul told Timothy, flee sexual immorality. I'm telling you, this is a beckoning call to who's listening, who's watching. It's time to flee the fables. And listen, and they're still going on. There's a lot of, now there's chatter all over social media. Oh, come March. There's something coming in March. Please stop it. Stop. I'm not looking to March. I'm not looking to March or February or April. I'm looking to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. David said, I will look unto the hills in which my help cometh from, for my help cometh from the Lord. Not a politician, not a Republican, not a Democrat, not a Libertarian, not a solo party, not a constitutionalist. My help comes from Jesus Christ and Him alone. And you say, I'm done with this channel. Listen, that's what we're about. I am a watchman to the Lord, not to a political party. So I hope you've received this message today. I hope you hear this from my heart today. This is not a rebuke to anybody. This is a call to get us back. Come on, as a watchman myself, I am called to, come on, to draw the body of Christ to Him, lead them to Him. And I see things happening on the horizon, and I just don't want people to get hurt. I don't want people to get deceived. I don't want to get people to pull astray so that they shipwreck the faith. Did you know that you can shipwreck the faith? Paul said that. So again, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Listen, this is weird, and I feel like I'm supposed to do, I wasn't even going to do this, but I just got to check in my spirit. If you're watching this today by Facebook Live, by YouTube, you're listening by podcast, and you recognize by the Spirit of God, because you have a good heart, you have a good heart. I'm not saying any of these people are bad. You have a good heart. And you say, I recognize, Brother Ricky, that I am one of those individuals that I embraced cunning, divisive fables. I wasn't in the word like I should have been. I wasn't in prayer like I should have been. And because of that, my eye caught the attention of all the fabrications, the lies, the conspiracies, and it has pulled me off track and pulled me off course. If that's you today, I want to pray for you today. So I'm going to give you just a second. If that's you today, I want to pray for you today. Right where you're at, if you'll put your hand upon your heart, I want you to receive this prayer right now in the name of Jesus. Father, you see those that are watching or listening today, and Lord, you see their hearts upon their chest right now, you see their hands upon their heart right now, Lord, in a public display or in a demonstration that they're surrendering to you, and they are renouncing fables. They're renouncing fables, they're renouncing these lies and these falsehoods and these conspiracies that's pulled them off course and pulled them astray and robbed them of their faith, robbed them of their joy. But today, Holy Spirit, I ask that you draw them back to your kingdom, back into you, back into a relationship with you, back into your word, back into prayer, and back into where we're supposed to be. You're bringing balance. You're bringing restoration. Oh, come on. Somebody's getting your joy back. Somebody's getting your peace back. It's like a heaviness coming off of you. It's like I get a picture like a helmet. It's too tight on your head, and it's causing pressure on your mind and on your thinking. And it's like as you renounce this stuff, it's like the Holy Spirit's taking that off your head, and there's freedom to think and freedom to begin to worship like you once did. It's coming back. All come on, it's time to cast off that junk and put on. Paul said, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the faith. And I pray that today. And I pray that everyone that would receive this today, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Again, guys, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. That's where you're going to find us. If you would like to subscribe to us, if you'd like to and follow us, get a newsletter once in your digest. That's where you can go and click on a subscribe. Listen, if you don't have our app, it's absolutely free. Download it today. It's available on Android. It's available on Apple. You can download that free app, get caught up, and stay up to date with all of our messages, our podcast, our news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. All that's going to be right there in your hands, at your fingertips with our free app. If you'd like to support this ministry with a gift of any amount, whether it's a one-time gift or whether it's a monthly partnership, maybe you would like to partner with us. Come on, it's a brand new year. We need your support to keep doing what we're doing. We don't charge for messages. We don't charge for the app. We don't charge for subscription bases. We don't charge anything. Everything is absolutely free. All we ask is as you're blessed, as you're edified, as you're encouraged, as you're equipped. And guys, I'm telling you, there's going to be more and more equipping messages, because I realize more than ever over the last 2 or 3 months that we've got to get people equipped in the body of Christ. And as much as I'd like to talk about events and so on and so forth, again, I am a citizen of his kingdom first over a citizen of this kingdom. So I am obligated to do what God's called me to do, and that's to equip and edify the body of Christ and the discerning of the times and seasons which we're in. So again, you can support us by going to our main website, again, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Click on the donate button. It's going to bring you to a page. You can give electronically through PayPal or through giving through a major credit card, or you can give by check or money order if you wish. But whatever the case may be, again, we thank you. We appreciate your generous support of this ministry. And guys, we're going to sign off today, but we are likely going to be back on. I was off for a whole week. I'm ready to preach and I'm ready to teach. So we're going to take off tomorrow, but we're going to be back on here Wednesday, Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. That's an old country saying, don't worry about it. I'm from Kentucky. Some of y'all get that, some of you won't. But nevertheless, be watching for us to come back on Wednesday. We love you guys. Listen, before we sign out, let me say this. I almost forgot about this. You guys on Facebook, you guys on Twitter, and whoever watching this, we're on every major alternative social media outlet. We are on Gab. We are on Telegram. Listen, I just got on Telegram. We just signed our ETH account up. I love Telegram. I think it's awesome. It's great. I'm telling you, I predict that's going to be the next big social media network. The way it flows, it's simple, it's good. There's so much connectivity. So we're on Telegram, we're on Gab, and we're on MeWe. So those are the three. And if Parler comes back up, we'll be back on Parler. We were there, but they're gone. So we don't know what's going to go on with them. But anyway, you can follow us, of course, on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and YouTube. But again, there's like this exodus from these main social media outlets. So you can find us there as well. So again, God bless you guys. We're going to sign off today. We'll see you back on Wednesday. God bless.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.